Morning, Boker Tov. Today's daf is Mayit Katan Daf Zayin. We left off at the Mishnah towards the bottom of Vav Amud Beis. Just two quick points on yesterday's daf. One is on Amud Aleph, Gemara discussed that the reason why they specifically have the Shluchei Bezin go out on Chol HaMoed, on Pesach, why not have them go out just before Yom Tov or after Yom Tov, why dafka Chol HaMoed? So he said because people are anyway out of work during Chol HaMoed, so if they're going to do services of Bezdin, they're going to charge a cheaper rate. They're going to charge a cheaper rate because they're not working anyway, so they'll take a discount in order to get paid for some work on Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara says, must be that Bezdin pays for it, not the violators, not the people, but Bezdin pays for it, fine. Ask Tosfos, very nice, that they're not doing work, regular work, because of Chol HaMoed, but we know that this, the same way you're not supposed to do regular work, it's usher to benefit from the schar of Chol HaMoed. So what's this Eitzah of hiring Shluchei Bezdin at a cheaper rate on Chol HaMoed? They can't benefit from this schar anyway. As they affect Tosfos, how's this guy benefiting from the hana, from the money regardless? Answer Tosfos is a big aside that the place can discuss the Maisa. We may have mentioned in passing yesterday, we thought a simple Eitzah for that was, now this is Tzurchi Rabim. There's ideas we spoke out that there's a heter of Davar, this idea of Davar Avid, which Tirchi Seir is Usar, but regular Tirchi is Matur. That's one of the term for working on Yom Tov. There is a heter of Tzurchi Mayer, of Tzurchi Rabim. So maybe this too, when it comes to Schar being paid for work on Yom Tov also, Tzurchi Rabim would be heter. Tzurchi answers that the reason is because it's Schar Mitzvah. Since he's doing a Mitzvah, even if normal Schar of Chol HaMoed is Usar, Schar Mitzvah is going to be permissible, as I emphasize. The price discuss how far we take this idea that Schar Mitzvah allows one to benefit from the payments he receives on Chol HaMoed. That's number one, on Yom Tov Chol HaMoed. Okay, number two is that after the Shir, the question was raised, I think Rehuda Aryeh raised the question, what about sprinklers? We discussed at the end of the Shir, again, Machlokes Rabbeinu Bar Yaakov in the last Mishnah, and the Chum, who he says are mayor, whether one's allowed to water an entire field, even if it does need watering, or only near the trees, which do need the watering, you know, like an irrigation field, that if you don't water them, it's going to be Devar Oven. So we discussed, what about using a sprinkler? What about Bezbanazet turning on a sprinkler? So the place can discuss that, first let's go to Shabbos, that an automatic sprinkler when it comes to Shabbos, we said this right away, yesterday after the Shir, there's really a Gemara in Shabbos that discusses that a person could open up a kind of like a faucet. He could open up these to have like these water pipes that they were closed off. You could open it up and the water will stream into the field. You could open it before Shabbos, and let's say he wants it to continuously stream into the field throughout Shabbos. It's permissible. You let it open it up and let it continuously stream into the field throughout Shabbos because his act was done before Shabbos, and the fact that the water is coming out now throughout into the field throughout Shabbos is not his act. It's not a malacha on Shabbos. It was done prior to Shabbos. So the Gemara already tells us that that case, it's Mishnah, and that case is permissible. So on Shabbos, when it comes to sprinkler systems, the chayra, the halacha is that one, as long as one finishes his actions before Shabbos, sets it up, and it's set to go on by itself on Shabbos, therefore it's going to be permissible like that Gemara on Shabbos. And there is obvious chilek over here, it's still going on Shabbos. There's really two concerns. One concern is you have Ramesh Feinstein's famous shita, which the Velt is not machmer for, but Ramesh Feinstein treats things that are on a time clock like Amir La'akim. Just like Amir La'akim's Asr, Ramesh held that if there were time clocks that were around the times of Chazal, they would certainly have been mater. They would have been, sorry, would have asserted using Shabbos clocks because that's a really another form. It's almost like a Amir Lakam, just like Idea Amir Lakam. Things can happen and get done on Shabbos. So too, Idea time clock, the timer, things can happen and get done on Shabbos. And that would have been part of Chazal's Zer, big Chiddush. It's really a Marisha style to go back to Gemaras, to go back to being Rais to Shilas from Gemaras and from Mishnayos. And here he's saying, going the opposite way, saying even though Chazal weren't Geyser, this didn't exist, they would have been Geyser, and therefore it's also, but the Velt seems to take on that timers are permissible. That's one issue. A separate issue over here could be different than the Gemara Shabbos, which allows one to open up the stream from before Shabbos. Over here, the sprinkler is starting up on Shabbos. So that could lead to more of a Maris Ayin issue. But assuming that everyone is well-versed, everyone knows quite well that most sprinklers are on timers, Bezmanazeh, so the place can bring that. And if a sprinkler's on a regular timer, goes on every other day, it goes on at X time, you know, normally goes on early in the morning, at 5 in the morning, let's say. So even if it goes on Shabbos, people are going to assume that the guy turned it on, he knows it's on a timer, and therefore it would be permissible. So getting back to Shvius, what if one sets up his sprinkler before Shvius to go on again every other day? to water the field throughout the entire Shemitah on a sprinkler, he's never watering the field. Would that be permissible? What about Chalamayit? Would that be permissible? So Chalamayit again would seemingly clearly be like Shabbos. Chalamayit is no worse, is no more Chabad than Yom Tov and Shabbos, and therefore that'd be permissible. When it comes to Shviyas, the Paiskim want to say that there would be a Chilek. Why? Because by Shemitah, the din is not just that I can't do Malach in the field during Shemitah. By Shemitah, there's a stronger element. There's Shabbos, and the land has to rest. I can't do things that the land is getting nourishment. If I'm setting it up and the land is going to be nourishment on Shviyas, that's also a problem. It's missing. It's felt in the Shabbos of the land. On Shabbos, there's a din that I can't do malacha. Not the malachas can't be done. I can't do malacha. By Shviyas, there's a separate element that I have to make sure the land is resting, the land is laying fallow, and if I set it up in a way where the land's going to be watered, kaseder all the time, it's missing in that element of the land resting. Okay, says the Mishnah, Vav Amabez. Sudden vayter dinim related to chalamayit and also actually Shemitah. Sudden esaishas vesachbarim. We're allowed to trap the ishas. There's machlokes in the mefarshim what exactly ishas is. The Taisus, bottom words of the page, Taisus brings the last words of Taisus on the page, mefarish bishalmi tchulda. Bishalmi explains that this ishas is some sort of chulda, some sort of a weasel. Others say it's the discussion if it's a mole, if it's a weasel. Okay, vesachbarim. Or mice, you let it trap these ishus or these mice, mistia ilan, mistia lavan, say from a field of trees, orchard, or from a field of grain, kedarka in the usual way, and you let it do this both b'mayid uveshvias, on chalamayid, and on shvias. What's the issue of trapping? Obviously, there's a malacha of trapping, but what's the issue of trapping as relates to shvias? What's shaykh to shvias? On chalamayid, understand, it could be these critters can create damage to the field, davra oven, and therefore saying you let it trap it, even though trapping would be a malacha, you let it do it because of the damage it's creating. On shvias, there's no issue of trapping on shvias. Remember, shvias is specifically, there's no issue of tircha. The issue on shvias is specifically tending to the field, helping the field. So how is this going to be an issue on shvias? Taisa already addressed the question. Jump back to that bottom taisa. What's the chiddush about shvius? That's mutter. It's not avodas karka. Taking out these critters is not avodas karka. So Taisus answers Yeshleimer that yes, in order to properly trap and get rid of all these mice and weasels or whatever it may be that may damage the trees and the field, you have to remove stones. You have to remove stones out of the way. In order to do that, removing stones is a way of bettering the field. So since the process of trapping includes removing stones, and that betters the field, that's the chiddush. You're allowed to do it, not just on chalamayit, you even allowed to do it on Shemitah. Again, chalamayit also, that would be an issue, but the point is, chalamayit, there was a separate issue of even trapping. Shviyas trapping is not an issue, but removing the stones would be an issue. That's Tosfos. The Talmidei Merim from Pari, they say a little different. They say that removing the weasel, removing the mice, is tantamount to removing stones. Not that, like they're saying, all you day the process of removing the weasel, you're going to remove stones. But rather, it's the same thing. Just like moving stones betters the karka, if you remove the weasel, yet we're not viewing it from the trapping perspective. We're viewing it from bettering the karka. That's called the form of bettering the karka. And that alone could have potentially been prohibited on chalamayit and even on shviyas. Either way, the Mishnah says it's permissible. The chamayim is according to Tanakhama. The chamayim and chamayim say as follows. Mistei ilan, from a field of trees, orchard, where it could do more damage, then you let it trap it in the regular way. Mistei lavan, when it comes to a grain field, where the damage is not as extensive that they typically cause is less extensive. So yeah, we do it shalai kedarka. We're going to explain what the difference between trapping kedarka and like kedarka is. But from state 11, you can only do it from a state of grain. You can only do it shalai kedarka. Umarkan separate in the Mishnah. Umarkan is a prince of Amayid. You let to close up a breach in the fence on Chalamayid. We're going to discuss it. We're talking about a fence around the chutzar, a fence around the garden. Again, what the fence we're talking about? Ubeshviyas bani kedarka. And Shemitah, you let to build a fence kedarka, which is would seem to be fairly obvious. On Shemitah, there's no Isser of Binyan. Chalamayim, we have an issue of Binyan. By Shemitah, of course you're allowed to build walls, you're allowed to build a house, there's no Isser. The issue is tending to your field, building a wall. It shouldn't be a problem at all. What's the Mishnah's Chiddush? Ben Kedakar, again, the Gemara will address that as well. Says the Gemara, Ma'ishas, what exactly does it mean, this Ishas? Amar Vuda Berya She'en Leinayim, some sort of creature that doesn't even have eyes. Amar Rabbah Rishmo V'tem Rabbah Yem Rabbah Shalmei Ma'ikor. What's the pasuk that references this that tells us about this critter that doesn't have, this rodent that doesn't have eyes? K'me Shabalul Temes Yalech Nefil Eishes Bal Chazu Shabesh. It will fool this Eishes. Eishes are referring to this animal in a mission, this rodent that we're calling Eishes. And the last words of the pasuk are Bal Chazu Shabesh, that never saw the sun. Meaning it's blind. It's a reference that this Eishes critter, rodent, is blind. Okay. Tanu Rabbanim. Sudden as the ishus besachmer mistei lovin mistei ilin kedarke. One is allowed to trap the ishus and the mice from this size stay lovin, the grain field, and certainly from the stay ilin in the normal manner. This fits like the Tanakam of the Mishnah. And also you could destroy ant holes. Of course, ants also, if ants attack a field, they could do damage as well. If they come in droves, so you are also allowed to destroy ant holes. Ketzem Akriven, now the Gemara gives us directions. How do we destroy an ant hole? Rav Shimon Gamliel Eimer, maybe offer Mechor Zeh, but Neisun Seh Chor Zeh. You find two ant holes, and you take dirt from one, and you put it in the other. It makes them go crazy, because the earth smells different in each ant hole, so by mixing the dirt from two different ant holes, it causes each one to go crazy, and they actually kill each other. They choke each other. Amar V'yem Rashami, Mishmei Dabayis, V'yem Rashami said in the name of Bai, explain a little more of the science of how this works. Food the cost between every naira. It's got to be that there's a distance of these two ant holes. The distance is two sides of the river. It has to be there on two sides of the river. Otherwise, I guess the earth will be similar enough that the putting earth from one ant hole to the other will not cause that type of ruckus in each ant hole. And furthermore, being on two sides of the river is only enough, who'd like a geishra, only when there's no bridge. But if there's a bridge, then again, apparently the ants are able to cross the bridge, and it creates a connection. I'm not sure if it's the ants or the people traversing from one side to the other, schlep dirt from one side to the other, but the point is, the ants will not be alarmed by the earth on the opposite sides of the river if there's a bridge that connects the two sides. Food like a gamla. And furthermore, even though there's no bridge, it has to be also there's no plank. Similar to a bridge, but a plank of wood also would not, maybe people wouldn't cross the plank on the plank of wood, but certainly ants could cross on the plank of wood. And lastly, v'hud lecha mitzra. And it's talking about a case where there's also where there's no mitzra. That's actually the way that even people can cross. If you have a plank with a rope across the top, people can use the plank slash hold together with the rope to cross the top. Basically, we're saying there's no access from one side to the other. That's when dirt from one side to the other is going to make an issue. Otherwise, it won't make an issue because the ants would still be familiar. Says the Gemara on top of Zayin Amud Aleph Ad Kama Ad Parsa. What type of distance does it need to be? Ad parsa until a parsa. So there's machlokes Rashi and Tosfos had to learn this. Is this ad parsa an additional clause or is it a separate clause? Meaning, is it a new clause that how close could it be? Let's say that you don't have a bridge. You don't have two separate sides. You don't have two separate sides of a river. They're all on the same side. How far away does it need to be? That even on the same side, it's still good enough to throw earth from one to the other. And the answer would be a parsa is enough. That is Tosfos's first mahalach, or Tosfos's second mahalach seems to say like Rashi that it means both. You need to have both. It's got to be two sides of the river, no bridge, and it's got to be a parasa apart. That seems to be that's how Rashi learns. It's an addition. And that seems to be Tosfos' second mahalach as well, that it's in addition to this, all these other clauses. Okay. Says the Gemara. Again, we're right at the top of Zayin Amud Aleph. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer Mistei Ilan Kedarka Mistei Lovan Shlekedek. So Rabbi Yehuda argues in Tanakama of the Mishnah and says that you're allowed to trap these rodents from a tree field in the usual way, but from a field of grain, you trap them in an unusual way. Tanar Abanan, what is this trapping in an unusual way? Ketzad Kedarkai, what's the way of trapping Kedarkai? Chayfer Guma, V'telba Matsudi, you dig a hole, and you put a trap inside it. You dig a hole and put a trap inside it. Actually, the Me'iri points out, from this Gemara, that is the issue of trapping. We discussed from Tosfos, what's the issue of trapping? Certainly as it relates to Shvius. What's the issue of trapping? Trapping, we know, is a melacha, maybe on Yom Tov, but Shvius. So we discussed, according to Tosfos, it was removing the stones to set up the trap, is bettering the field. That would be potentially an issue on Shvius. According to the Talmidim Rimi Pari, we said the issue is, that removing the rodents is like removing stones, and that's the issue, and that's the problem. The Me'iri wants to say, based on what the Gemara describes over here, the normal way to trap is to dig a hole and set up a trap, so digging the hole is already a form of chayrish. That would be the problem, why you would assume there may be an issue during Shemitah, and still was saying it's allowed, but that would have been a reason why we would have potentially thought there's a problem. What we're saying in this Gemara over here, chayfer guma v'tela, is the third malach, that's from the Me'iri. Chayfer guma v'tela ba matsuda, you dig a hole, and you hang a trap in there. Ketzad, That's the kedarkei. Ketzah shalei kedarkei. Noyet shpud umaka bakardim. You stick like a spit into the ground, and then you take like a hammer, and you hit the spit, which causes tremors. It causes like a little bit of earthquake. Umirado adam betachta. It causes the earth beneath it to flatten. And what happens is the rodents normally have these pathways to come in and out. It kind of flattens their pathways. I thought maybe it's the shock, the shake of the earthquake caused that mold to disappear. But it seems like it may just cause the earth to flatten, and it destroys the infrastructure, like the tunnels that these rodents are using. Tanya. Shimon Elazar Eimer. Kesham Rumi Stei Lavan Shlei Kedarkai. This time we said that by Stei Lavan you can only trap it Shlei Kedarkai. La'er Rumi Stei Lavan Esmuch Le'er. That's talking about a Stei Lavan, a grain field that's near the city. So a grain field near the city is not such a concern. And therefore, not such a concern for damage. So therefore we say, trap it only, or destroy it only, Shlei Kedarkai. Avo B'Stei Lavan Esmuch Le'ilan. But what if you have a grain field that abuts, it's next to a tree field, and the tree field, we said the trees can get severe damage from these rodents, that's why you're not even trap Kedarkai. So even by the state lava now, even by the grain field, Afila Kedarkai, one can do a Kedarkai, Shem Yatsma State Lavan, Fiachriva Ezilan. It's because the norm is, if they're already attacking one field and there's another field next door, it's very common for them to go and attack the field next door, and therefore, to protect the state Elan, you could already trap Kedarkai, these rodents in the state lava, in the grain field, you could already trap Kedarkai, as a measure to protect not the grain field itself, which the damage is not as extensive, but rather for the stay Elon, you could already trap a Kedarkai in the stay Lovin. Umakrin is a Pritzim Mayit. We said in the Mishnah that one is allowed to fix a breach in a wall on Chalamayit. One is allowed to fix a breach in a wall on Chalamayit. Ketz Umakrin, how do you close up the breach? Based on Amar, Mehutza V'dafna. He goes up with like with different materials from natural materials from the trees or from the bushes. You use like these branches and you close it up. It's obviously more of a makeshift type of wall. It's not a sturdy wall. It's a makeshift type of wall that you're allowed to do on Chalamayit to repair the breach. Masisutana. You're allowed to use stones, but you can't put the actual cement in. You can't put the plaster in, but you could put up bricks or stones. If you have bricks handy or stones, you can use the stones to fill in the wall without actually putting in the concrete, the cement. Okay. Amar Rav Chisda. Leishanu Elokais Lagina. This that they said that you're allowed to make this breach the wall, but you can't breach it in a proper, full-fledged fashion. You're doing this kind of makeshift wall on Chalamayit is by the case of the gin and the case of the garden. Av case of chutz, when it comes to the wall of a courtyard, by the kedarkei. By the wall of a courtyard, you got to build it up kedarkei. The idea being, the Rishonim have different halachah. What's the difference between gin versus chutz? Rashi explains very simply that the chutz is access to a person's chutz. People store things in the chutz, and furthermore, the house is open to the chutz. So if you can have a real breach in the wall of the chutz, ganavim can come in and just steal whatever they want. His valuables are protected. Whereas by the garden, not much less of a concern of valuables being there. It's more of an issue. It's more of an issue of just not having simple access, not being open. But you're not so concerned about valuables, and therefore for the garden, it's sufficient to have a makeshift kind of wall. Whereas by the chutz, you're allowed to build a proper wall. That's Rashi. The Mukesef suggests a different look, that by the garden mechlal, you're not worried at all about by the chutz. You're worried about protecting your items. If you have a valuable, it's not valuable. You're protecting your items in general. By the garden, you're only concerned for tznius. The whole purpose of the wall around the garden was typically for tznius. And since it's for tznius, as long as you put something there, even if it's makeshift, it blocks it off that people can't see. Once they can't see, you've achieved a tznius by the chutzer, where the wall's serving more than just tznius. That's why you let it build a proper wall. Again, not necessarily arguing two different ideas about the chutzer having a need for a stronger wall and the gina not having a need for a stronger wall, just simply almost like a mechitza. Lema say that's being a raya to the Rav Chisda's psak, that by a regular chutzer, you let it build a full, by a chutzer, you can build a full-fledged wall, because it says as follows in the Braisa. Kaisel Hagaycha Lishus Rabim. A wall that's leaning into Rishus Rabim, Seiser Ubaina Kedarkei. It's leaning up dangerously, that it may collapse. You let it destroy it and build a kedarkei. We're talking about Achalamite, destroy it and build a kedarkei. It's clearly a sakana here, this leaning wall. So you let it destroy it and rebuild it kedarkei. Achalamite, you see, you let it build kedarkei. So the Chayetz are right to Rav Chisda, then when it comes to a wall of a real courtyard that you let it build, says the Gemara, kedarkei, you don't have to build in this makeshift fashion. Says the Gemara, obvious chilek. What does it say over there in the Braisa? Mipnei sakana. Hasam kedarkei time. Mipnei sakana. Over there it says the reasoning is because sakana. That's why it's permissible. Perhaps if it was just an element of protecting one's field, one's chutzner, one's house, maybe that wouldn't be enough of a reason. You don't see a riot from the Braisa. The Gemara deflects the riot. Some say it the other way. Bring this Braisa as a kasha. Tashima. Rav Chisda saying you let it build a proper wall for a chutzner. Just for a gin, you have to make makeshift wall, but for a chutzner you can build a proper wall. Obviously the Braisa not like that. Wall that's leaning over to Shishrabim, that's dangerously, looks like it's gonna fall. Seisru Baina Kedarkai, Mea Sakana, you can demolish it and rebuild the Kedarkai because of Sakana, make a dig Mea Sakana in. Dafka, because Sakana, you let it rebuild it. Shlem Mea Sakana, but Fanafis Kani wouldn't be able to rebuild it, so a regular Chatzar of a wall of a Chatzar would not be able to be rebuilt in a regular fashion. If not for the shuv sakana, lame tav is tifter of chizda. It's a kashan of chizda. Amach of chizda. Rav Chizda says, I can tell you a big chilik in that brisa. The brisa was allowing to be seiser and to be baina. Hasam seiser ubaina. Hacham baina vle seiser. The seiser to knock down an existing wall and then rebuild it, that's only when there's sakana. But if the wall's already not doesn't exist, and just to build a wall, that's mutter, even that sakana, that's going to be Rav Chizda's chilek, that to knock down an existing wall and then rebuild it, the knocking down portion is only there. Mishum sakana, the first one, B'dayk, has actually brought a Malach HaMayis and Magen Avram, that apparently Rav Chizda is learning, and this other is coming out, that knocking down a wall that only had to be sakana, ganavim, stealing, would not be a heter for knocking down the wall, because we're saying, building a wall, you got to build them, we explain, because you want to protect your valuables. So building a wall of a chatzah, we're saying, is permissible, according to Rav Chizda, even in a proper fashion. You could build a proper wall, not just a makeshift wall that's to protect your valuables. But saying this idea of seiser, knocking down an existing wall, seems to be relegated only to sakana. Otherwise, there shouldn't be a chilek between the regular chatzar and this case where there's a weak leaning wall. It must be that knocking down a wall in order to rebuild it for protecting from ganavim, that would not be permissible. Okay, says the Gemara. Ask them our question. But if the whole issue is that the chiddush is that you let it knock down and rebuild because of sakana.
Might be a sakana also.
Sorry?
Because somebody comes in to steal.
Okay, get the Bamach Terrace, that type of idea. Yeah, and a chami. An interesting swear. Magen Avram passes the Maisa, not like that. But I hear your question. Magen Avram does say that he's Medayik and Agamar, Dafka for danger, for Seiser, the Seiser's Dafka Mutta for danger of a leaning wall, it would not be permissible for Ganavim. I'm not sure why he's not nervous about the danger of Ganavim. Okay. Hasam Nami list of Livni, ask him our question 1 second. In the Bryce's case, if the whole issue, let's think about it, was the danger of the wall, why don't you just demolish it and not build it? Why don't you just demolish and build it? If that's the main issue, just do a seiser over there and leave it. Leave the wall demolished. The danger is gone once the leaning wall is taken down. Says the Gemara, in Kim Bimbele Seiser. No, because people are not going to demolish their wall if they don't have the ability to build it back up, to rebuild the wall right away. They don't want to be open and exposed. So in order to protect from the damage, we allow to demolish and to rebuild. But the point just says, that's where the Braisa says that you let it be seiser and rebuild. Daf kabai. A case of sakana. And if it's sakana, you wouldn't be able to demolish, but you would be able to rebuild, like Rav Chizda was saying, even a proper wall. Amar Rashi, Masis Na Medeka, our mission is taka meduyik, like Rav Chizda, that dafka, the wall of a garden, is where we're saying. We were talking about the wall of garden in Mishnah, and that's what we're saying, you can make a makeshift wall, but the wall of a chutz, or you can make a proper wall. How do you know the Mishnah talking about the wall of a garden? Because the Mishnah sticks in, the end of the Mishnah, we said, you're able to build the wall, v'shvi'ez kedarka. And we asked, what's the chiddush by a shmita building a wall kedarkei? The Gemara elaborates. What wall are we talking about? Elam the chutzir. We're talking about the wall of the chutzir. Tzrich lemeimer. You got to tell me that a shmita, you're allowed to rebuild a normal wall to chutzir shmita. What shaycha? Since when is construction usher in shmita? That's never an issue. El av the gina. Must be talking about a garden which has some growth in there, some vegetation or something like that, and therefore we're saying avagav de mechzi kaman de avnet yirus lepeiri over there, where it looks like you may be making some sort of protection to guard others from your peiris, which of course you can't do in shemitah. You would have had a havamina that should be usher to build a wall around the garden because the garden looks like you're protecting peiris. Even though you're going to leave it open, of course, but you're going to, it looks like you're trying to protect the parents from others, and maybe therefore it's better. So, Kamash Bon, that's when it's mutter. The Chiddush Mishnah must be that you can build a wall on Shemitah around the garden. Shema Mina, that the Mishnah is referring to the wall of a garden and not the wall of a courtyard. So, this dinim that we discussed that we qualified in our Mishnah, that you're allowed to only do a temporary wall, the Hutzah, the Dafna, like we said, is Dafka talking about the wall of a garden. Dafka, the wall of a garden, are we relegated to the Hutzah V'dafna, or like the Brisa says, you put up stones and you don't plaster. Again, that's all by a garden. But like if Chutzah Taka qualifies, when it comes to Chutzah, again, this doesn't say explicitly, but we're going to infer from there, Dafka garden was our discussion, but by case of a Chutzah, you would be able to build a proper wall around the Chutzah. So the Mara is being in another Raya to Rav Chizda. Okay. Now we get to the dinim of Tsaras a little bit. The focus really is about a Kayin, who knows halachas of tzaras, who is the one who examines the tzaras to see if it's tummy or not, is he allowed to, is he supposed to, be judging tzaras on chalamayit? Let's see. Remer Eimer. Right in the synagogue, just a quick, you know, quick chazar of the basic din of tzaras, a person gets a white discoloration on his skin, so he goes to the kayin to see. There's three options when he goes to the kayin checks it and says, either this discoloration is totally tar, no, it's not really a nega of tumma b'chal, or he says, this discoloration is clearly tummy, it's got already simani tumma, so he makes him what's called a matzara muchlet, tummy. Or the third option is, of course, where he says, it's undetermined, lock you up for a week, and we'll recheck it again after a week. You come to what's called the Matzara Musker, we lock the person up for a week, we put him away, and we check after a week to see if the tsaras has developed, if it's spread, or if it developed somebody tumma, then the kohen declares him tame. If it shrank, if it went away, if it's smaller, then he's tar, and if it hasn't changed at all, he's locked up for a second week. That's the basic dinam of Matzara. And again, the kohen comes and checks after the second week. Just one more point before you see the Mishnah. Once the kohen declares the fellow as a Matzara Mukhla, that is real Matzara, so he now has to wait for it to get healed. He then starts the Tara process. He's what's called Matzara Mukhla. Interestingly enough, when we see the Gemara, in Matzara Musker, when he's locked up, he's usher to be with his wife. He's not to be with his wife. When he's a Matzara Mukhlet, he's actually mutter to be with his wife. He's Mechus L'machna still, but he's mutter to be, his wife's not joined in Mechus L'machna, and he's able to be with his wife to have relations. He just has Mechus L'machna from the people. And then when he starts the Tara process, interestingly enough, now he's not able to be with his wife anymore. During the Tara process, he's usher to be with his wife. Okay, that'll come up more in Amud Beis. Let's see. Says the Mishnah, Remeir Eimer, Reines and Negoyim, this child of the Gars Betchila Lahakel. You're allowed to see Nagoyim and be Makel. So basically, the Kayan can issue a Psak Lakula, Avalachmer, but he can't issue a Psak on Chalamayd Lachumer. Chazanish points out that, of course, we're talking Dafka Chalamayd, Shabbos Yomtiv, Ain Dana Sadin. You can't judge judgments. The Kayan giving a Psak on Tsaras. It's not just on like an Issev Heter Psak of a Rav, which of course can be done on Yomtiv and Shabbos. It's more like a Bezdin almost. That's a din, like a Dana Sadin, and that cannot be done on Shabbos or Yomtiv. We're talking about Chalamayd over here, and Rameh is saying the Kayan can Paskin Lakula, but he cannot Paskin Lachumra. So he has to either say it's Tar, or just keep quiet, which is interesting that he has that option, not to issue a psak. And we know, of course, the tumma comes on the day, the psak of the kain, that only when the kain calls the tummy is it tummy. Says the Mishnah further, Avloy lachmer, b'chamam argue and say, loy lachvay lachmer. The chamam argue and say, no, you can't, the kain cannot view the nega because they can't issue a psak, say lakula, or lechumra. What's the problem of rendering a psak lekula? Lechumra, there's no issue of rendering a psak lekula. That would be gevaldik. You take care of any stress the guy may have about this impending nega that he's going to have to deal with after Yom Tov. You get rid of any stress by saying right now is tar. The issue lechumra of judging the nega, so the Ritva learns, is simple because it's the kayan cannot refrain from issuing a ruling. Once the kayan looks at the nega, he's got to say either tame, tar, musker. He's got to say one of the options. He can't refrain from saying anything. And therefore, it's not an option to go to kula. And if you're able to go to kula, it'd be great. But it's not an option. You don't know before you judge it. The kayan judges what's going to be. The Yavacham say you can't do either. Lahakal or lahakmer, you can't do either. Whereas the Mary clearly holds that the kayan could issue a psak lekula, say tar, and just keep quiet, legai b'chumra, and not issue a psak l'chumra at all. That is the way the Ritva learns, the Machlokes, the Chamin, and the Remeir. The Ran says that you don't have to come out to that. Could be the Kain doesn't have to issue a psak. Could they agree, the Ran will learn, it could be the Chum agreed to your mayor that he could issue a psak only l'kula, and the Chumra, he could just keep his mouth shut. But what's very obvious, if the guy goes to the Kain, and the Kain says tar, great. If he goes to the Kain, and the Kain says, I'm not going to rule this. You know what the Kain essentially just did? He just ruled that it's tummy. Now, he's not going to be a Mitzayra. It won't be Mitzayra because the Kohen didn't actually rule. But the bottom line is, the fellow's going to know on Yom Tov HaChalamayd that the second Yom Tov is over, he's becoming a regular Mitzayra. He's either going into Musker or he's actually going to be tummy. And therefore, then he'll still share some Chizantim. He'll be able to stick around and be with the people. He's not actually tummy yet. Again, major Chiddush in the Parsha of Tsaras that it doesn't come tummy. So you have the declaration of the Kohen, but still, it's already going to ruin his Unigantiv. That's the Ran's mouth. So fundamental difference between the Ritva and the Ran. Ritva's learning that the Chamim are arguing or mayor in din that you're not allowed to keep quiet. The Kohen has to issue Ipsak one way or another. Of course, if he doesn't know, but assuming he knows, he has to issue Ipsak one way or another. Whereas the Ran is saying he doesn't have to issue Ipsak, but his silence is screaming and that it's Tameh, and that's going to shter the person of Chalamayt as well. The Gemara is going to clearly learn in Rav Yesi, who seems to be the Chamim, the Gemara is going to clearly learn, like the Ritva's Mahalach, that you have to issue a psak one way or another, but the Ram will learn that Rav Yesi is not the Chamim Shita, it's the third Shita. Let's see the Gemara, it's right away. Tanya, Rameir, Aimer, we learned in Abaisa, Rameir says, Ruinus Nagam Hakel, he let us see Nagam on Chalamayt to Paskin the Kula, Avay Lachmer, we don't Paskin a Chumer, Rav Yesi Aimer, Lilak Lachmer, Rav Yesi says, not Lachal, not Lachmer. Why? That's like the Chama for Mishnah. But look what he's over here. The Brisa gives a reasoning. Shemat the Niskakle Lachal, Niskakle Laaf Lachmer. If the Kayan sees the Nega for Kula purposes, he's got to give a ruling, even if it's a Chumra, that fits word for word the Ritva. And the Ritva will indeed learn that who's the Chum of our Mishnah? The Chum is Rabbi Yesi. How's the Ran going to learn? It's a third Chita. The Ran can learn that the Chum said, you can look, you don't look Lachal or Lachmer because your silence will create the issue of the chachamim. And Rebbe is saying a different reason. Rebbe says because you have to issue a psak regardless, you have to issue a psak, and therefore you can't look at psay lachol psay lachem because you have to issue a psak and you don't want to get a psak lachumra on Yom Tov, and therefore you can't look at it. Again, according to Ritva, it'll be only two shitas. The Rebbe is the chachamim. According to Ran, it'll be potentially a third shita. Okay, Amar Rebbe. Comes along, Rebbe, and says like this: Nirin divrei ha-meir b'muskar. The words of a meir that a kohen is allowed to inspect a nega appears to be correct when it comes to a muskar. Mitzrayim was muskar. For divrei b'yasi b'muchlut, and the words of b'yasi appear correct about not doing inspection when it comes to a mitzrayim muchlut. The Gemara now explains. Amar b'yasif. Amar Rava. Bitar klamle pligi lechazu. Everyone agrees. A regular tar person, a person who's completely tar, that you want to come check for the first time, we don't do that in chalamite. Everyone, either may agrees. Why get involved? You don't get involved in chalamite. Beskarishan, if he's lacking, remember we said a regular mitzera. There's different amounts of hesker for a mitzera of the body, mitzera of the clothing, mitzera of the house. 1 week, 2 week, 3 weeks. Let's just go with the we're talking about the mitzera of the body, which gets locked up for a maximum of 2 weeks. So beskarishan, he already was confined for 1 week, and the end of the week ends during Chalamite. So the Kalamite plague over there, everyone agrees, to Chasile. In the case, again, where he's tar, why get involved? Everyone agrees, you don't look at it at all. Even a mayor was saying, you don't look at Hakel, you don't look at Lachmer, you don't look at it at all. When he's totally tar. When he's finishing the first week of Hasker, everyone agrees, you look at it. Rashi explains why, because what's the downside? Manavshav, either you're going to come and say it didn't spread, and he's tar, or you're going to say, no, either it shrunk, and you're going to say it's tar, or it didn't spread, and you're going to lock it up for another week. And therefore, he already is Esker. He already was Esker. So what, you're not changing his status. Yeah, being locked up for another week is not geshmak, but you're not changing him from his existing status. And therefore, it's okay. Yeah, it's nice to have kasha, but there's a third option. Maybe the nega spread. Maybe it develops somebody tumma. Once you're checking the nega, maybe he's going to go from being a Matera Musker to a Matera Muchlet. Why are we saying that after the 1 week of Hezker, everyone agrees it's not a problem to check? There certainly should be, there's certainly a possibility of a negative outcome, meaning that now he's going to become a full-fledged Mitzvah Mukhlet. So Taisus answers that, sorry, not Taisus, the Meiri answers that spreading is in common. Very interesting. I'm not so bakant in the whole, familiar with the whole status. Remember, these aren't just skin issues that are physical, and they are physical, but they play out obviously from a spiritual realm. We have the word Erechin that explains the six reasons or so. Lashon Hara is the most famous one, but the different reasons, Saras Ayin, different reasons that cause Saras. It's a spiritual ailment, so maybe it was uncommon for this thing to spread. I'm not sure, but that's the Miri says. And therefore, the option of it staying the same or getting smaller is so much more overwhelming, and therefore we're willing to take the risk and check. That's the Miri. Mishnah Melech suggests that just go by numbers. There's three options. It got worse, make some tummy, stay the same, or it got better. Two of the three options are okay. And since two of the three options are okay, therefore everyone's going to agree that we could check it on the musker that comes out on Chalamite. Okay, fine. That's the two cases where Rav explains where both Rameir and the Chamim will agree. Ki pligi tapa meis, where do the Chamim and Rameir argue? The Hesker Sheni, at the end of the second Hesker, where now you have to issue a psak that either tar, or he can't be musker again, or tummy. Marasav Rebukain Tali Milsa, Rameir holds his Tali in the Kayan. And therefore, itar amalitar. If he's not tar, the kain's going to declare him tar. If he tamei shasik, and if he's tamei, he'll just be quiet, and he's not worried about the issue that the guy now knows what's happening. For now, he's not tamei, so again, he stays status quo. So Marav Shach either will become tar, he'll be declared tar, or he'll be status quo. Umar savar latarei alatamik siv. Whereas Rebbeisi holds again, the pasuk says latarei alatamik. The kain has to issue psak one way or another. Being quiet's not an option. He has to either be tar or be tamei, one or the other. Being quiet's not an option, and therefore. And therefore, we don't want to engage, according to Chamim, we don't want to engage at all, because we cannot create a situation that the only outcome will be tar or status quo. The options have to be either tar or tame, and we don't want to make tumma on Chalamayin. Says the Gemara. Amar, Amar Rebbe, Nirin Divrei Rebbe Yasi. Now that we have this Rav's explanation, we go back to Rebbe's statement. We said that Nirin Divrei Rebbe Yasi B'Mukhlet, the words of Rebbe Yasi are Nira by a Kayan who's checking someone who's ready a mukhlet. That's where Rebbe Yasi seems to be more nearer that we don't check with the very mayor, but mayor sheet that you do check appears to make more sense. B'musker. But we learned in the Brisa opposite, exactly the other way. Answers the Gemara, Tanayi Alibid Rebbe. It's really a mukhlet, it's not Alibid Rebbe. And the explanation is as follows. The question is, what does the guy rather prefer? Does he prefer the company of people in general, or does he prefer the company of his wife? And we explained before that ironically enough, when the person is in a status of mukhlat, he's mutter to his wife. He's mutter to his wife, but he's totally has to be isolated from other people. When he's musker, he is usher to his wife. Well, but he has the option of getting a psak to become when the kohen is checking him. Sorry, once he's ready mukhlat, if he's going to be checked to become out of mukhlat, become tar. So now becoming tar allows him to start to get back to people. But still, like we pointed out before, while he's going through the tar process, he still cannot be with his wife. So which is more important to him, to be with society at large or to be with his wife? And based on that, we say whether Rebbe was allowing. Rebbe was saying that by mukhlat you can't check or you cannot check. If he prefers to be with his wife, then you can check by mukhlat because he'd rather the status quo of being a mitzvah mukhlat than becoming tar. If we say he'd rather be a people, then checking mitzvah mukhlat is only a benefit for him because he'd rather be able to get back to society at norm. Says the Gemara, the member of mukhlat mutter b'tashmish mita. What comes out from this conversation is that a mitzvah mukhlat is mutter to have tashmish. Is that so? Gemara says yes. In Vatanya, we learned this. Vatanya is benichusa. Vatanya, we have a raya of Yashmachas Allah. Shavisham says he should dwell outside of his tent 7 days. She also b'tashmish mita. He should dwell outside of his tent. Tent refers to also his wife. He's usher and tashmish mita during the 7 days that he's staying hesker outside of away from his tent. Vein Allah elishta. Shneimer leichem alam shuvilchem laleichem. After Matan Torah, Hakadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to tell the people to go back to their tents, which we translate to mean go back to their wives. They have relations again. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer. Shivas Yom Yispilcha. Rabbi Yehuda says, the pasuk says you should count from 7 days. You may svira, you may chilutai. It says you should count for 7 days, and we learn from there that dafka during the days of svira is the usher in relations, but not during the days of chilut. The days of counting, the 7 days, but the chilut, when he's tameh, is no counting. Tameh is tameh till it starts to clear up, then he becomes tar. So you may chilutai is when it's usher when he's counting. Sorry, you may svirai. The days of counting is when it's usher's wife. You may chilutai not. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Shivas, you may svirai. Kavachayim may chilutai. However, Rabbi Yehuda argues and says no, that if the 7 days of counting, the Heskey's usher to his wife, certainly Yimei Chilutai, he's going to be usher to his wife. Rabbi, I was saying the logic in front of Rebbe, the Matan Rabbeinu, you taught us Yusam Lehaya Leyuzo, Elamei Chilutai. Yusam was conceived from Uzio at specifically the time when he was in Mitzras, Yimei Chilutai. Meaning that you obviously learn, like Rabbi Huda, Rebbe, we say, this is Rabbi Chia saying about his uncle, about Rebbe, that you obviously subscribe to the first sheet, Rabbi Yehuda, that not Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Yehuda that says it's only usher during Yimei Hesker, and not during Yimei Hechlet, that Dafka Kol Yimei Sipurei, the days of counting is usher, but Chilutei is mutter, because you told us that Uzio was actually, he actually conceived Yusam during his days of Tsaras. Amalei, Rabbi says, yes, Afani Kakamati, indeed it's correct what you're saying. So it comes out that Rabbi subscribes to, this is what we're saying earlier in the daf, this conversation, whether or not you mutter b'mei chilutai, we're saying that we have a raya that Rebbe clearly holds that the wife is mutter to b'mei chilutai, because Rebbe subscribes to Rabbi Huda's opinion that during the Yimei Hesker, a wife is usher from the husband, but during Yimei chilutai, the husband is mutter to be with his wife, whereas Rebbe Huda says it's kavu chaymer. Taisa just addresses very simple that what happened, Rebbe Huda, they don't agree to the concept of kavu chaymer. Rebbe Huda has a pretty stark kavu chaymer. Madacha musk was not clearly tame, is usher to his wife, shouldn't be mukhlat, certainly become usher for the husband to the wife, says Taisvitz, doesn't say what the pircha is. It says it must be the some sort of pircha. It must be the some sort of question on the kavu chaymer. Otherwise, it's not that Rabbi Yaisi, it's not like Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi don't agree to kavu chaymers in general. Of course, they agree to kavu chaymers. They must be over here. They had a pircha. I'm not sure what the pircha is, but there's a pircha on the kavu chaymer. Says the Mike Kamifli, what's the machlekes over here? Rabbi Yaisi Savar Galir Rachman Meisifur of Koshke Mechelutai. Umar Sat Marti Galir Galir. Machlekes is that Rabbi Yaisi says that the Torah is Megalabe Meisifur and from a kavu chaymer. We also know the prohibition of being with one's wife in Yimei Chilutai. Umar Sav, where's Rebbe holds, Maite Gali Gali, Maite Gali Gali Gali, where the Torah revealed Isser, there's Isser, where they have the drush of being Usser to the Isle, is Dafka during the days of counting, Yimei Hesker, but where the Torah was not Megala, we don't have to be concerned. The Memra, the Bekayin, the Alimos, the Eskimar, but one general question on the whole conversation. Rav Meir and Abesi, they argued whether or not the Kohen is allowed to check the Tzaras, meaning because they argue whether the Kohen has to issue a ruling or not. But it seems to be that they all agree that the Tumah is not inherently Tumah. The Tzaras, I should say. It's not inherently Tumah. It's not Pshat. It's inherently Tumah, and you just need a Psak from a Rav. Normally, you have a Shalav of Basav Chalav. You have a Shalav of animals kosher or not. You go to the Rav for the Psak, but the Rav, I mean, of course, the Psak becomes now the new Metzias, obviously, but the the Rav is not changing the Metzias. The Rav is being megalotas through his psak what the Metzias is. This animal is treif. This animal is not kosher. This food has a din because of the quantities of the mixture that came in. This food has a din of basa v'chalav. The Rav is just issuing a gila milsa because we're not familiar with halacha, and therefore he gives us the information to get the halacha. But it is what it is. It was always us the whole time. We just didn't know it. Or it was always mutter the whole time. We didn't know it. Over here by Tzaras, it seems to be that everyone agrees that till the kain issues the ruling, he's not tamei. He has no din of tzaras. How much like this is when the kain gets involved? Does he have to issue psak? Does he not have to issue psak? But till he issues psak, there has no status of tumah. Is that indeed so? Says the Gemara. Lememrit b'kain tali milsa. Is it so that the kain, the whole status of tumah, is dependent on the kain? The Gemara says, in yes, it's so. And we bring another case where another scenario where we see that we can delay, just like by Chalamayid, we have another scenario over here where we say the Kain should not issue a psak if he should look at the situation at large and not issue a psak if there's other far-reaching ramifications. Says the Gemara, the Atayim learned to the Baisa, again, this Bidihusa, a right this idea, Uviyem erased by on the day the Kain. On the day it'll be observed, it should be Tameh, Yesh Yem Shat Rabbi. It says on the day, we darshan for there are certain days that you check, the Kain observes. Yesh Yem Shat Rabbi. But there are certain days the Kain should not observe. What does that mean? I mean, he shouldn't even engage with the Tzaras. Mekan Amru, from here Chazal learned, Chasin Shno Ben Nega. Let's have a Chasin. He's about to get married. The wedding's all set up, the marriage about to take place, and now he has this nega. You're going to judge him now, make him musker, make him mukhla, it's going to mess everything up. You give him, or could be the wedding already started. Could be the wedding already, the chas already happened, but you still have Shavu Brachas to tend to. So, you give him the 7 days of Mishta, of Shavu Brachas, for him, nega on him, nega on his house, nega on his clothing. Either way, you give him all that time period before you start to engage, and the kain checks. And simigav regel, that's our Mishnah. Nice leshivis meregel, give him the whole regel, and then you only then do you check the nega. Divrei Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Yom Ein Tzarech, Hari Aimer Vitziva, kain, you don't need, meaning Rebbe agrees to the halacha, he just don't need that source. You don't need the source of b'yayim harayis b'yayim. Rather, you have a different source. It says, legabe nigi batim. What does the pasuk say? Kain abayas. The kain should command, when he comes to check the nega in the house, he should first command, take all the movable items out of the house, because if you need to clear the house, if he's going to declare the house tummy with tsaras, it'll make all the kalim that are in the house tummy as well. They'll become tummy. Take them out of the house in order that when the kain declares the house tummy, potentially, that the kalim will not be joined in the tumma. So now, it takes time. The Kain commands that before I get there, make sure to take everything out. I'm going to wait for you to take everything out. The Kain's delaying his coming to issue a psak in order to have people take everything out of the house, in order this famous idea of Hatari Chasam Mamash Yisrael, as Zerah cares about the Mamash Yisrael, if we wait for Dvar Rishus, Kol Shekein Dvar Mitzvah, certainly we should wait for Dvar Mitzvah. If we wait to issue a psak Lagabe Dvar Rishus for Mamash purposes, certainly we should wait for Dvar Mitzvah Lagabe Yamtiv, Simchas Yamtiv, or Lagabe Chasan, celebrating his Shavu Brachas, certainly. So you don't need a pasuk of Yamarais Bay, it's based on this idea, this other pasuk that you empty the house. That's a clear indication that we don't issue a psak when it's going to mess up the Simchas Yamtiv or the Chasan. Interesting, just to connect this back to yesterday's daf, we're saying over here the reason why we wait for the person to empty the house is because the Gemara elsewhere uses the lashon of a teir chas al mamish Yisrael. We're talking about someone who has neged tzaras, he's being afflicted neged tzaras until the tzar is worried about his money, and therefore instructs the kain to instruct the fellow to remove the movables from his house, to remove the movable items in order they shouldn't become tummy. And again, just to be more clear, if it's kalim, like metal kalim, you could Tayvel the mikveh, that's fine. We're worried more specifically about the klicheris. Klicheris are the earthenware kalim that cannot become purified. That's the big concern. So those klicheris, which will have to be broken, so those aren't really very expensive kalim. And still, we're worried about it because, again, that's the idea of the Torah's word about Kaiso's mammon. So getting back to the Gemara from yesterday, we discussed that it must be that the shluchei bezdin who go to check the klayim are being paid. We actually referenced it when we started today. Are being paid by bezdin, because if they weren't being paid, because we said that we specifically hire them out on chalamayim because not work anyway, and therefore they offer cheaper rates. And why are we so worried about saving money? It must be that it's bezdin's paying for it. Therefore, about saving money. So it could be someone I think mentioned yesterday. Lechor, you have a simple question that a Torah Chasam Mamash Yisrael. That why are you saying for sure it's so clear that the money comes from Bezdin? Maybe the money comes from the people, and the reason why we still hire them out, we hire the agents out on Chalamayid is because the same idea. A Torah Chasam Mamash Yisrael. The Torah is worried about people's money. Lechor, this far is over there. We're talking about people that Mamash violating. It's different. Tzaras also comes for, we said, for the six reasons given in the Erechin Tzayin, that there's different reasons for Tzaras. I think it's after Tzayin over there in Erechin, but it's in the teens. But the point is that it's for those favors, but the tzaras itself is more indirect. Over here, the client could be, we're talking about violators, we wouldn't be so makbe that the violator shouldn't have to pay market rate. I guess, especially to the extent that we're having people work, so to speak, on Chalamayid, in order not to pay the market value, that already is a higher madriga. Maybe that we wouldn't be so concerned if the violators were paying for it as opposed to the bezin. Okay, says Gemara, one more quick Gemara, it's getting late. Says Gemara, my bad, I'm our bai, my shmai starts to come out. The machoikis between Rebbe and who says I don't need to darshan from Vayomer Reis Bai and the Tanakama Rabbi Yehuda is Mashmayis darshan. Meaning, there's no difference. It's just what the source is. That's it. But they both agree. Rav says there's an afkamina. There is an afkamina whether you can not check for a dvar rishus. If you go with Rebbe, then we say that dvar rishus is mutter. So in general, also not checking taras where it could affect a person for not even a mitzvah for dvar rishus purposes. That's still gonna be permissible. According to Yehud, it's gotta be dafka like a dvar mitzvah, like a wedding, like shev brachos. By the way, they bring a raya from here, quick raya that shev brachos is deraisa. We know we have the pasuk by Yaakov Avinu where it says malish vozeis, wait a full week and then I'll give you the next order. Sounds like there's already a source for shev brachos deraisa, but it's a discussion. There's another source but saying shev brachos seems to be not as dvar rishus. It seems to be what I mean. Obviously, it's a mitzvah, but it seems to be more of a mitzvah deraisa. Otherwise, it would be called dvar rishus for our purposes. Rabbi Yehuda says, we don't learn from the din of Shabbos over there, because that's a chiddush. That's a chiddush. We don't learn from the cases of a chiddush. What's the chiddush? Of course, by nigibatim. The whole parsha nigibatim is a chiddush because wood and stones typically are not septa fatuma. Yet when it comes to nigibatim, septa fatuma. So says Rabbi Yehuda, you can't learn from. Nigibatim, because that is a more mechudish tikka parsha. The Gemara is going to, Rabbi's going to say, I don't want to run through this too quickly. We'll go over this last Gemara in Mitzvah Shem. The Gemara just ends in the first Gemara on top of Chesam and Alf. We'll finish it tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem. Have a wonderful day.